This morning on our 11th anniversary, we've announced exciting news about another chapter in God's book on Laurel Baptist Church. I'm thrilled that, Lord willing, in the coming months, we will have the privilege to start our fourth church. Yet this time in a unique way. As I mentioned a moment ago, my desire since day one has been for our church to be a center for church planting, especially in our region. In fact, I'm not sure that the best model for ministry is large mega church centers where thousands gather in one location, but rather churches planting churches all around a region where people can gather in their communities, evangelizing their neighbors without distance and being able to know their pastor and the people that they worship with regularly. Because of this desire of mine, I have prayed that God would allow us to grow to a healthy point of being able to reproduce ourselves all around the city of Charlotte, to train pastors to go out from us and replicate Laurel Baptist Church autonomously throughout this area, whether it would be on the west side or the south side, or in this case, the north side, or even further out, should the Lord will. Next Sunday night, Jared will be sharing his testimony about all that has transpired in the last 12 months that has brought him to the place where he is assured that God has called him to be the first to take a group of members out of our church and establish a new church in a town in our region that needs a gospel-driven, Bible-centered church like we are privileged to have here at Laurel Baptist Church. Today, I want us to answer the question, what it's going to take to see this happen. What is it going to take? What do we need to make Lakeside Bible Church a reality? Well, the first thing that we need, and you can write this down in your notes as you see it on the screen, is we need, first of all, a mission. We need a mission. I want you to notice the opening statement of verse number one. The Bible says that Paul came to Derbe and Lystra. So what Paul is doing here is he is continuing his missionary journey. He is on a mission. You'll see also in your notes that this was a mission given to him by God. It was a mission given to him by God. He became a follower of Christ in Acts chapter 9. We fast forward to Acts chapter 13 and we find him faithfully serving the Lord in the church that he was a part of, the church at Antioch. It would be like you coming to Christ here at Laurel and becoming baptized, joining this church in membership and serving the Lord in worship and sacrifice on a weekly basis. That's what Paul was doing. He gets saved in Acts chapter 9. He joins this church in Antioch and he begins serving the Lord there in Acts chapter 13. And notice what happens. Look in your Bibles there. You're in chapter 16. Flip back to chapter 13 of Acts and look at verse 1. The Bible says, now they were in the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, and he begins to name all of those who they are. The last name he mentions is Saul, which we know to be Paul. Now here's what he says about them in verse 2. As they, that's Paul and this group of people, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said this, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So this is the Holy Spirit saying, I have a special work for Paul. I have a special work for Barnabas. And as they're serving the Lord, doing what they're supposed to be doing, we don't know all the roles that Paul played in the church at Antioch. Perhaps his first role was music director and children's director. And then after that, he became the administrative pastor of the church and whatever else he was supposed to do. We don't know. All we know is that Paul was serving and Barnabas was serving. And in the midst of this service, the Holy Spirit of God says, I've got something special for Paul to do. And so I need Paul and Barnabas to be set apart for this particular task. The point is that they were going about doing a mission that God had given them to do. But not only was this a specific mission that God had given to Paul, but this was secondly a mission that was affirmed by his church. It was affirmed by his church. Look at the next verse in Acts chapter 13 and verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, that is, they were discerning about what the Lord was doing, the church laid their hands on them. That is, they prayed. They laid their hands and prayed. And then they sent them away. So here's the picture. The church comes alongside of Paul and affirms this calling and mission. They do so by not only discerning the call through prayer and fasting in verse 3, but acknowledging the call publicly by laying their hands on them, a sign of recognition and affirmation. So Paul coming into Derbe and Lystra, this takes place many, many years before. He gets saved. A mission is given to him by God. His home church in Antioch affirms the mission. And of course, thirdly, this was a mission to preach the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. So from this moment in Acts chapter 13, Paul begins what is known as his missionary journeys, a designated assignment by God through his church in Antioch to surround the region with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what he does. He travels to many cities in that region, preaching the word of God and establishing new churches. One statement that you'll see rehearsed in nearly every stop that Paul and Barnabas make is this: and they preached the gospel there. And they preached the gospel there, whether it was in Iconium, whether it was in Lystra. No matter where they went, the Bible always says that when they got to that city, they preached the gospel there. And then we see that as a result, the Bible says, the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. So what you have is you have in the book of Acts this mother church, this healthy church, Antioch. They're out evangelizing. They're inviting people to church. They're winning them with the gospel. And through all of that, God is working in the hearts of those members. He comes. He says, I need Paul and Barnabas. I got something special for them to do. The church affirms it. What's the special thing? What's the mission? Go and preach the gospel. And so they send them. And they go throughout all the cities in that region. In every city they go to, they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we get back to chapter 16, in verse number 1, and the Bible says that Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, this is the mission that we speak of. This is why they are here. They're in Derbe and Lystra because a mission was given to them by God. Because a mission was affirmed to them by the church. Because their mission was to go throughout all the cities and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, in verse 4 of our text, it goes even deeper to show us that they were ensuring that the pure gospel was being clearly preached. Look at it in verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees. This is chapter 16, verse 4. They delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. I don't have time to rehearse all of chapter 15, but apparently there was a debate going on in the region among some of the churches on whether or not circumcision was required of the Gentiles in order for them to be truly saved. The Jewish converts were having a hard time letting go of some of their legalistic ways. But Paul comes to the city assuring the people that our salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, that it's not of works. And so that's what he's doing here in verse 4. He's visiting these cities. He has a mission. He's preaching the gospel, and he's preaching the pure gospel that you can be saved. You can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can know for sure that all is settled between you and God, not by what you do, because you can never do enough good things in order to earn God's favor. No, they're going to these cities preaching that you can be saved because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. If you will by faith trust him and believe in him and follow him, his grace will forgive your sins. He will give you eternal life. He will help you to understand his gospel. And here's my point. We've been given the same mission. We are to go and preach the gospel. We are to baptize those who believe. We are to teach them the word of God. So if the mission of our church is set out to plant churches, to follow the New Testament pattern and to duplicate this, replicate this all around our region, then why are we starting in Cornelius? It's a great question. In fact, I have a little graphic that I want to show you. This is the what we're calling the evangelistic target area. If you're new to our area, this is the area north of our city. So I've got my little class, my pointer here this morning. Down here we have 485, all right? And so when you come up 77, which I know is a dreadful word around this place, 77. But when you're coming up 77, you enter in this large area of Huntersville. And then over here in this pink, you see Davidson, which is in desperate need of the gospel of Jesus. And right here in the middle is Cornelius. So this is the area. This is why we're going with Lakeside, because this area, according to the late Norman tourist place, they call this the Lakeside of Charlotte. And the reason why this is our evangelistic target is that the three towns here that make up North Mecklenburg County, which is Huntersville, Cornelius, and Davison, they've grown 1,000% since 1990. This area alone has a combined population of 100,000 people. And so this is a fast, rapid growing area of our city. And because of that, there is minimal light of the gospel present in that area. I know sometimes you have missionaries come through and they'll say, there's no churches. Well, that's not true, okay? There's churches there. But the light is minimal. One of the largest churches that I think, Jared, in the state or in the country, in the state of North Carolina, is a Catholic church. A church that we would say does not have the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's not that there are no churches there, but the churches that are there, largely in part, are not preaching a gospel-centered message. The light is very minimal. That is testament by the fact that we have people who live all around that region who drive such a long distance to be a part of Laurel Baptist Church. I remember when Andy and Amy moved to our area, and they settled in the Huntersville area. They told us of their own testimony that we literally went to about every church in that area that we thought would preach the gospel, that would be what we're looking for, a Bible-centered church, and it's just not there. That's by their testimony. And others have agreed to the same. So not only is this a fastly growing area, but the gospel light is very, very minimal. And Cornelius is simply the center of this target area. There's 30,000 people alone that live in just Cornelius. And so that's going to be the target in that small border. And of course, the testimony of our members and our church who live there and drive this distance to be a part of our church over and over again have proven to reveal the priority of this area. I think about Heidi and Nathan, who drive 50 minutes one way. They're in the north part of Mooresville. And to them, to find a church that preaches verse by verse, that gives the word of God, that's not focused on politics and preferences and all these things, that focus on the true gospel of Jesus Christ, they're saying, we would rather drive 50 minutes one way four times on Sunday and then again during the week because we just don't have this opportunity there. It only makes sense. So how are we going to make Lakeside a reality? Well, with a mission. And we have that mission. God has called a man out from among us, like he called Paul out of Antioch. God has called Jared out of Laurel. And he has called these families to go with him. We've not coerced them. We're not making them do this. We say, look, I of all people would love for you to stay if you want to stay. But if you'd like to go, we really believe this is the best way to do it. Our leaders have affirmed that calling. The need for the gospel in North Mech has assured this mission. If we're going to make this a reality, we got to have a mission. Secondly, if we're going to make Lakeside a reality, then we need a team, okay? We need a mission. We got the mission. We need, secondly, a team. Now, we've all heard about this mentorship and teamwork of Paul and Timothy. So much of the New Testament is dedicated to their work together to establish gospel-preaching churches to the glory of God. Acts 16 is where they come together. Look at it there in verse 1. When he came to Derbe and Lystra, behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. Verse 2, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. He had a good testimony. Now notice the next phrase in verse 3. Him, that is Timothy, would Paul have to go with him? I emphasize that phrase, to go with him. See, in my assessment, the work of missions is always better when carried out not by an individual, but by a team. Think about it like this. Timothy was joining a team that consisted at this point of Paul and Silas to go and to continue the work of God in more and more fruitful ways. Why a team? Why do we need a team? Look at your notes. Jesus emphasized the team principle. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, when Jesus was calling his disciples and training them and teaching them, this is what the Bible says. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. That's 70 other people to go out and do the work of the gospel. And here's how he sent them out. Do you remember? He sent them out two by two to every city and every place. So the whole team principle that the work of the gospel is better carried out in teams is something that Jesus emphasized in the 3 years that he was here teaching about the structure and the planting and organization of the church. Not only did Jesus emphasize the team principle, but secondly, the early church modeled it. The early church modeled it. Whether it was Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13, or Paul and Silas, and John Mark and Barnabas in Acts 15, or Paul and Timothy in Acts 16, the early church functioned all of their mission endeavors in the framework of teams. Teams. And so the church modeled it. Jesus emphasized it. But then there is the simple fact that it has proven to be the most fruitful approach. It has proven to be the most fruitful approach. Solomon, who was the wisest man to ever live, reminds us how that we are indeed better together, no matter what our endeavors are. Do you remember the verse in Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9? Two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up the other. But woe to him that is all by himself, that is alone when he falls, because he has no one to help him. Even Solomon, who wasn't necessarily talking about church planting there, understands the principle that when we do things together, we are far more fruitful in our endeavors than we are when we do them all by ourselves. So it is our conviction in following the New Testament model not to send out regionally a family all by themselves, where they would be prone to discouragement, where they would be prone to having lack of help, but to set them up for success by sending a team of people with them, to encourage them, to help them, to be a part of this new work of God. That's why Paul and Barnabas went together. That's why Paul and Silas went together. It's why Paul and Silas said, hey, Timothy, we could use you. Because the work of the gospel is hard work. The work of church planting is insurmountable. It's literally impossible in our own endeavors. We need the help of God. We need the help of one another. Of course, we have primarily asked those who are already living in this region where church is needed to be a part of this initial team. In fact, here's how we came up with it. Show this next graphic, if you would, please. If you look right here, here's Laurel Baptist Church. That little red dot with the cross on it, that's where we are. That's us. Hello. If you pull up Google, you're going to see you right now waving at Google. I'm just kidding. You won't do that, but that's where we're at. Every blue dot is a member of this church. So you can see strategically that we've done fairly well, that the majority of our people come right here in this region, but we have them down here in South Carolina. There's a member of South Carolina. We got them all the way over here in Gastonia. Don't tell my dad. We've got some over here in Albemarle that wouldn't even fit on the graphic. We got them up here in China Grove and Landis and Kannapolis. I mean, they're pretty spread out. The majority of our membership, 60% of our membership live in Cabarrus County. But then when you go up here to Mooresville and Davidson and Huntersville, we have this nucleus of people all by themselves. And so it's not the only spot that needs a church. But the way God has built us to this point, it would be hard just for one family to help get a church get started. It'd be hard for just one family in Albemarle to do this. But we've got a nucleus of what would have been potentially about 10 families here. And there may be more to join. This is just the initial team right now who are already there. In fact, let's go to that zoomed in graphic. That's the next one. So here we're looking at the map again. I know you see Mooresville. This is where the Jacobs live. And then here's Davidson. This little circle right there, that's Cornelius. And so the hub of these families that I just introduced you to, that right there is the Canes. They live right there at Cornelius. And then, of course, there's not a dot for Jared yet, but he's aggressively looking for a house in that area. And so we're going to have a red dot for Jared. We've chose this area because that's where we can best carry out the team of people going together. And as hard as it will be not to see these families on a weekly basis, I am incredibly grateful for their pioneering spirit, as well as their desire to form this evangelistic team that will impact the community in which they reside in. I think about what Paul said in the book of Thessalonians. He said, I'd rather depart with some of our closest brothers. This is in chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. Just write it down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul said, I'd rather depart with some of our closest brothers by sending them to your city, Thessalonica, for the gospel's sake, than to keep them all to ourselves. Than to keep them all to ourselves and leave you unreached. That's how I feel about this. I remember when Andy and Amy came to our house about this dinner, we had talked to them about it, and I really appreciate their sacrifice. They had made plans to potentially move back to their hometown in the mountains. They knew by committing to this that those plans would then be put to the side and that this would now become the priority for a great while in the future. So you can tell that these families are making sacrifices too. I remember as we cried on the back porch around what seemed to be the longest fire that we've ever sat around about how hard it would be to have not only a faithful church member, but some of our closest friends, not to see them and their children every week. But every one of these families, whether it's the Canes or the Blevins or the Jagrips, and Jared and Julie for that matter, and Kyle and Shannon, we would much rather depart with our brothers and sisters for the gospel's sake and send them to a place that needs the gospel than to hoard them for ourselves and that city go unreached. That's the purpose of the team. That's why we're using a team. And some of you have been a part of that. Kyle grew up as a pastor's kid, and I love this. He's not just a pastor's kid, but his dad was a church planter. The Saganowiches, before they came to North Carolina, they were members of a church in New York who did exactly what we're talking about. They sent teams of people around their city to plant churches. And John and Pat and Stephanie and Shannon, they were a part of those launch teams that would go and help these churches. And so these are not just people who say, you know what, we're tired of pastors preaching. It would be nice to look at Jared for a change. These are people who've grown up around this, who knows what it takes. And I love the multi-generational aspect of this team. That's not just among young guns, you know, trying to go blow everything up. That Marty and Faye is going to keep them all balanced, right? They're going to keep them all balanced. I love that. You know why that's important? I remember that's one of the first questions Andy asked me. He said, I'd be a little nervous about this if it was all young people. That's wisdom. He said, I need my kids to see older people serving the Lord, will train them and set the way for them like we have here. Like we have here. And so the team that God has assembled, the Bakers would tell you, who have been church planters themselves, That team dynamics would have been so helpful to just their encouragement had families partnered in that aspect. Listen, Lakeside's going to become a reality because we have a mission. And we have a team. And let me give you one more so we can have lunch. We need number three, a focus. A focus. Look at verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith. Look, we're not going to North Met County to start a social club. We're not going to start another religious institution. No, as a biblical church, we're focused on one thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul told the church at Corinth when he came to their city to plant. 1 Corinthians 2:2, I'll read it to you. For when I came to Corinth, I determined not to know anything among you except one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. His focus and goal was the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so when we come to verse 5 and our text says that the churches where Paul went were established in the faith, it's the idea of Paul bringing them to full strength. They grew to become healthy churches. And this is the goal, healthy churches. The goal is not church growth. The goal is church health. And that's so very important and a lot different than the strategy of many churches today. It's been our focus for 11 years to emphasize the things that bring us spiritual health and then leave the numerical growth to the sovereign will of God. After all, it is His church and He's responsible for it. That's why in low moments we press on. Why? It's not us, but it is God who builds. It is God who gives. It is God who takes away. So we're not going to Cornelius any different than what we've come here to do. Have the largest church in North Met County. No. We want to have a healthy church. That's our focus. To establish healthy churches. And Paul did this the right way. Look at these closing statements. His focus was on faithfulness to the task. Faithfulness to the task. What's the task? To establish spiritually healthy churches. I appreciate the five goals that Jared has outlined. I've got a little picture here on the screen for you to see. Jared shared this with our church leadership and this launch team about a month ago when we were talking about what this church was going to be all about. And you'll find these very familiar because this is what we're all about. He's going to go to Lakeside and the emphasis is going to be expository preaching, biblical preaching. That we open God's word and not give you man's opinion. We open God's word and give you what God has to say. God has to say. That's why we're calling it Lakeside Bible Church, and I love that. In fact, it might not be a bad idea if we entertain it around here. Because the emphasis to the unsaved world in North Mecklenburg County is that this church would be known more for their emphasis on the Bible than they are any denominational framework. That's so very important. When a church establishes its identity, that those around them, especially who have never heard the gospel, know that when I go to that place, they're going to be a church that is all about the Bible. And so that's the priority. We've made our church all about the Bible. That's what they're going to do. Expository preaching, authentic worship, loving fellowship, faithful evangelism, personal holiness, all of these. To help us strive toward establishing a healthy church. Additionally, write down second two, not only faithfulness to the task, but the focus is to replicate our model at Laurel. The focus is to replicate our model at Laurel. Jared and these team members are going to Cornelius to start what will be a Baptist church in doctrine and practice, but ultimately it'll be a replication of what they have seen and experienced here at Laurel. That you could go visit Lakeside Bible Church on any given Sunday, and for the most part, everything's going to look pretty much the same as what you have here at Laurel. Except the preacher will look a whole lot more uglier than the one that you have here. The summary is simplified in this matter recently in one of our staff meetings. This is what we've been about for 11 years. This is what they're going to be about. Preaching the word, enjoying the fellowship, living the gospel. Preaching the word, enjoying the fellowship, living the gospel. The same model is what Lakeside will replicate in order to establish in Cornelius what we have seen the Lord establish here in Charlotte to the glory of God. I look forward to visiting on their 11th anniversary and seeing how much hair Jared has lost, 11 years of church planting. I look forward to seeing what those early day pictures are going to look like and what God will do in a decade of time. And then I want to say in regards finally to the right focus, that not only must the focus be on our faithfulness to the task, but it must equally be a focus of full dependence on God for the fruit. Full dependence on God for the fruit. Notice the last part of verse 5, and we're done. Look at it. The churches were established in the faith and increased in number daily. But who's responsible for the increase? Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It is not he that planteth that giveth increase. It is not he that watereth that giveth increase. In the very next verse he says, it is God that giveth the increase. And Jared's not walking up to North Mech saying, all right, boys, I'm here. We're going to bring increase to the glory of God. No. In fact, he's scared out of his mind right now, as he should be. This launch team doesn't think in their minds that they have what it takes to do this. No, they're all humbly just trusting the Lord, knowing that if we are faithful to what we're supposed to do, then God will be the one responsible for blessing the fruit of the ministry. So herein lies the foundation of our focus. We will be responsible to faithfulness while trusting God to be responsible for fruitfulness. This is the focus we need. So what's it going to take to make Lakeside Bible a reality? A mission? We have it. A team? We got a good one. A focus? May we stay on track with it. Well, Pastor, what can we do? I want to conclude with four things our church can do. I'll elaborate on these more later. But these are things we can do right now to successfully give birth. Everybody laughs at me when I say that. Give birth or having a baby. But it's true. Here's how we can successfully give birth. The first thing you can do, breathe. I'm just kidding. Don't write that down. The first one is pray. Pray. My friend Jake Potter posted on social media this week after he heard we were giving a big announcement. He says, congratulations. The big announcement is Jonathan and Kathleen are having twins. I had to breathe for a moment. Pray. Let's pray for Jared. Let's pray for his family. Let's pray for the team. I hope you'll write these families down in a prayer journal and pray for them every day. Let's pray for opening doors in Cornelius. Jared needs to find a house. He's been looking. I don't know if y'all realize it. It's a little bit more expensive to live up there than it is here. So we're finding it very difficult right now. I want you to pray. We need to get them living there so that they can start going after that community. Pray for the opening doors of a meeting place. We've already looked at some places. We need the discernment of the Lord. Do we need to start meeting in a school first? There's a church for sale up there. I don't know how we could even do that, but we might even go by and look at it just to see. Other things that are going on. We need to pray about these things. Pray. Secondly, give. Continue giving to our missions ministry as you do faithfully. And of course, there'll be special projects as they come around that we want to commit to. Perhaps there's even some things in your own personal heart that God might lead you to do to help them. So pray, give. Thirdly, encourage. I love that you gave them a standing ovation a moment ago. I want you to be excited about this as you are. I want you to share your excitement. In fact, we have these picture things. We've got some other ones we're going to bring out here in just a few moments that we want you to get up here and post pictures of Lakeside Bible Church. And we're going to the lake. That's where we're going. We're going to the lake to start another church. And ask me about the lake. Let's get excited about it. You guys have friends and family that live in that area. Hey, our church is starting a church where you live. Get excited about it. Look for ways to encourage this project. And then lastly, help. Help. Volunteer in strategic ways in the coming months to help us establish this new church. We've already talked about exciting things we're going to do. Eufaula and Beth Haven and Promised Land and several churches in our area, we're going to combine and do two or three major outreach days on a particular Saturday where we load up the bus and go meet and get door hangers and just maybe it'd be great if we could lay out about 10,000 each time and then we could cover all 30,000 before the church ever starts. We're going to have special volunteer teams after the church starts. Let's say, and I don't know how this is going to look, but let's just use it for illustrative purposes. Let's say that Marty is going to be the usher director up there. And so I might ask for two families to volunteer for the month of October to go worship with them on Sunday mornings. And the two men can help Marty take up the offering, and the two ladies can help in the nursery or be greeters or whatever the case may be. We'll have teams. We'll have a team in October and a team in November and a team in December. We get to help a church walk and eat and do all the exciting things that sometimes after 11 years we take for granted. Well, this is the Lord's timing. And this is the Lord's doing. Not to perpetuate our name, but to perpetuate His. Well, you may be visiting or new to our church and you're thinking, why in the world would y'all make such a big deal about this? I tell you, friend, the gospel of Jesus Christ changes everything. It has changed my life. It has changed the lives of many who gather in this place this morning. And because we believe the gospel changes everything, we know that it'll change the eternal destiny of people we've not even met yet who are just waiting for Lakeside Bible Church to open its doors to preach the gospel. I pray that you've been impacted by the gospel. If not, we want to help you with that. We'll have counselors standing here at the front at the conclusion of our services. We've written a little booklet called The Gospel Message. We'd love to take time to walk you through it, and perhaps you'll get a glimpse of why we get so excited about this thing called church planting. May God bless them. May God bless us. We look forward to the future.